Green Township, program number 7. The Alpha Omega Chapter, Alpha Delta State of the Delta Kappa Gamma Society International, an honorary women's educator group, in cooperation with the Martha Holden Jennings Foundation, presents a history of Green Township and its schools. Green Township, by location in the original survey of the Western Reserve, was known as Township 7 in Range 3. The townships numbering from the south line of the reserve north and the ranges from the Pennsylvania line west. Members of the Connecticut Land Company who owned it were Mr. Parkman and Mr. Green of Boston, who had it surveyed into sections 1 mile long east and west and 1/2 mile wide north and south, the northwest corner section being number 1. Originally, Green consisted of 6 townships: Williamsfield, Wayne, Colebrook, Kinsman, Gustavus, and Green. Later, when Ashtabula County was organized, the 3 northern townships of Williamsfield, Wayne, and Colebrook were cut off from the others. In the allotment sold by the Connecticut Land Company and Eastern Corporation, Joseph Howlin secured the township of Green and Gardner Green the township of Howlin. These men later exchanged their holdings and named the townships for themselves. Thus, the township of Green was named by and for Gardner Green. The township of Green, composed of Kinsman, Gustavus, and Green, was visited early in the spring of 1817 by 6 men: John and William Harrington, John Wakefield, Ephraim Rice, Roswell Bartlett, and Ichabod Merritt. They came from Canada and western Pennsylvania. In the early part of the 1800s, Canada had offered 160 acres of land to any man who would settle on it. A good many people from Vermont and other New England states accepted this offer. When the War of 1812 came and England exacted of the immigrants that they became British subjects or leave the country, most of them abandoned their newly acquired farms and came to northeastern Ohio. The question of migration was discussed among the families, and the 6 men came to Trumbull County to examine the soil, timber, and water supply. They were pleased with their findings. Selecting sections 7, 14, and 17, they went to Warren and bought them of the owner's agent, General Simon Perkins, at $2.50 per acre. When they were told that each must deposit $50, Mr. Wakefield had no money, but William Harrington had $93, and General Perkins allowed him to pay this as down payment on the 2 lots. This tract they divided into 6 equal parcels, each 1 mile long east and west and 80 rods wide north and south. To Ichabod Merritt, he was the youngest, they gave first choice. He took the north piece because there was derelict on it. William Harrington took the south piece, and John Harrington took next to Merritt, and John Wakefield next to William Harrington, with Ephraim Rice, the north, and Roswell Bartlett, the south middle pieces. That spring, Ichabod Merritt, Ephraim Rice, and John Wakefield built 3 log cabins, 16 feet square and 7 feet high. The roofs were made of oak shakes held on with poles. The floors of puncheon were made by splitting out flat pieces from logs and smoothing them with axes. Merritt's mother occupied the first cabin built, keeping house for her 2 sons, Ichabod and Aaron. These cabins were followed by 1 for John Harrington, Bartlett and William Harrington, and that fall, Ebenezer Key bought part 4 just west of Merritt and built a cabin there and moved in. The early cooking was done in the fireplace, either before the coals, in the ashes, or hanging from the crane. Often people visited, stopping in a day or two. The occasion was one of hilarity. One time such a party arrived at the home of William Harrington. Just as they appeared, a peculiar character in the neighborhood, who was a hunter wandering around in the woods wearing a coonskin cap with a tail hanging in front of each ear and one behind, dropped in. Mr. Harrington asked him if he did not think he could go out and shoot a turkey. He replied that he thought he could, and he soon returned with the fowl, and in a short time it was dressed, stuffed, and hung by a string in front of the fire to roast. It then became the duty of young Charles to sit and turn it so it would be browned all around. Young Charles was not infatuated with this job and noticed that by twisting the string tightly, it would untwist and twist up again, allowing him to take a little leisure. He had just discovered this wonderful invention and was working it out when his mother, who was overseeing the cooking, informed him that she could not have grease splattering all over everywhere. So he had to go back to his despised task of slowly turning until he was nearly roasted himself. The boys living along Mosquito Creek used to trap mink and muskrat. For the former, they got 12.5 cents apiece, for the latter, 25 cents. In the election held in spring of 1819, the voters living west of Pymatuning Creek did not vote to suit those living on the east side. The eastern section petitioned to be set off as a township, with Kinsman as its name, and this was done. Again, at the election in the spring of 1820, the voters from the new settlement did not vote to suit the more wealthy and populous eastern part. The people of the eastern half then petitioned to be set off as the township of Gustavus, which petition was also granted. This left the town of Green with a name, but no officers. At the election held September 4th, 1820, the following officers were chosen: Ephraim Key, John Harrington, and Roswell Bartlett, trustees; Ebenezer Key, clerk; David Rice, treasurer; Ephraim Rice and John Wakefield, overseers of the poor; William A. Bascom, constable; Ephraim Key, William Harrington, and David Rice, road supervisors; Wyman Wakefield, fence viewer. This election was held at the home of William Harrington. Roswell Bartlett was elected the first justice of the peace, and his commission bore the date May 20th, 1822. The first birth was Deborah Harrington, the only daughter of John and Rhoda Key Harrington, on March 14th, 1818. The second was that of Edwin Wakefield, son of John and Sally Key Wakefield, born October 18th, 1818. The first marriage was John M. Justin to Ruth Higgins in November 1820. The second was William Harrington to Charlotte Bascom in March 1821. The first post office was kept at the middle corners with Major Churchill as postmaster. The mail came through from Warren to Jefferson once a week and was carried on foot for 2 years by Caleb Leonard of Bezetta for $75 a year. The first merchant was Jonathan Wortham, who came with a wagon load of goods and set up in a small building at the east corner. He also put in machinery for carding wool driven by horsepower. George Heslop and Stoddard Stevens were merchants at the east corners in the early days and were followed by George P. Curtis, who commenced about 1835 and continued in business at the same stand for 35 years. For 40 years, the east corner was the main business point in the township. After the Civil War, the center has been the business as well as geographical hub of the township. Elk, deer, and wild turkey were plentiful. Bears and wolves frequently were seen. The first school was taught by Roswell Bartlett in the winter of 1818 and 1819. The following winter, James Bascom taught, and the following winter, John Harrington was the teacher. In 1821, William Harrington taught. The winter of 1822, W. Bartlett.